Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on the gifts of miracles and casting out devils. Now, we started to look at last time how casting out devils is a miraculous ability from God. So we want to pick up there. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're very thankful for this opportunity to be able to come together to study thy very words that you've preserved, inerrant, inspired, infallible in the good old King James Bible. Father, we pray for the saint of God listening to them, that this study would be an encouragement to them, that would build them up in the things of the faith and give them ability to answer questions regarding these things we're studying to others that may have questions or to contend for the faith. And Father, we pray for the lost soul that may be listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that's never trusted in His shed blood alone to pay for all their sins and give them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the very day that they call from their heart by faith, believing that Christ died, He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Father, we commit this time and whatever results that may come about, we turn everything over to you, and we ask your blessing upon our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at casting out devils as a miraculous ability from God, we want to see that casting out devils is often connected with the ability to miraculously heal. Although the ability to cast out devils and the gifts of healing are clearly identified as two distinctly different signs in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. They nonetheless are often linked in the Bible. On some occasions, the cause of a sickness was a devil. And thus the Lord healed a person by casting out one or more devils. Nonetheless, the way in which these items are linked shows the miraculous nature of genuine exorcisms. Turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8 and verse number 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Then look in Luke chapter 9, verse 42 with me. We read the following. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Then notice what is said in Acts chapter 5, verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, in them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Now, again, we're looking at casting out devils is a miraculous ability from God. However, we want to see also casting out devils can be imitated. First of all, let me say this. Satan does not generally cast out his own devils out of a people, but is nonetheless a great counterfeiter of the truth. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 24 to 28. We read the following in Matthew 12, verses 24 to 28. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." In the passage that we just read, Jesus makes several important points. First of all, if Satan was the source of power behind all genuine exorcisms, his kingdom would not last very long, as a house divided against itself cannot stand. Second, the Pharisees had at least limited success in casting out devils, though they definitely did not accomplish this feat through the name or power of Christ. And number three, the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out devils through the power of Satan out of jealousy and unbelief. Jesus did not entirely rule out the possibility that Beelzebub, or Satan, would order his troops to retreat if there were an advantage to be gained in so doing. Now, history is full of examples of lost men and women casting out devils. Among those in the occult, in pagan religions, there are numerous examples of one devil being cast out by a more powerful one that replaces him. Roman Catholic priests for centuries have practiced exorcisms. They have certainly not been successful in so doing because their faithfulness to the Word of God. Tongues, miraculous healings, and numerous miracles have all been successfully counterfeited by Satan. Scripture is explicit on the fact that such deceptive miracles will continue to take place in the future by the power of Satan in imitation of the Spirit of God. Only one deceived by Satan would claim that the devil could be involved in all these counterfeit miracles and yet never touch the one apostolic sign gift of casting out devils. If there is an advantage to be gained by Satan enabling a lost person to occasionally cast out one of his own devils, such as causing the town folk to believe in their priest, in Roman Catholic doctrine, when an exorcism is successful, you can be assured that the angel of light will not hesitate to participate. Amen. Notice what it says. Who identifies, the Word of God identifies as the angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verses 13 and 15, we read the following. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan, here it is, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again, we're looking at how casting out devils can be imitated. We've just seen Satan does not generally cast out devils out of people, but is nevertheless a great counterfeiter of the truth. The second thing we want to look at, there were in our lost men who actually cast devils out of people. Look in Matthew chapter 10 with me. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 and 8. And when he is referenced to Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, Jesus gave his disciples the power to cast out devils. Now, the context clearly includes Judas Iscariot. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, who is identified by Jesus as being a devil himself. In John chapter 6, verse 7, I gave you two references there. Let's look first in Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 4. And what we're looking at here in the context is the names of the apostles. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, we read Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So we see Judas Iscariot is named among the apostles, the 12 apostles. Now let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, let's look at together verse number 70 of John 6. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now the point here is that casting out devils does not necessarily identify someone as being a believer or a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7 with me. in verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, we've been looking at casting out devils can be imitated. We've looked at two things, two aspects. First, Satan does not generally cast out devils out of people, but is nonetheless a great counterfeiter of truth. The second thing we've seen, there were and are lost men who actually cast devils out of people. The third thing we want to look at is casting out devils has occurred outside of the apostolic sign gifts. As mentioned earlier, from Matthew chapter 12, in verses 24 to 28, the Pharisees were able on some occasions to successfully cast out devils. In the church age portion of the New Testament, there is only one example of anyone other than an apostle attempting to cast out devils. These men had apparently had considerable experience in such matters, as the Bible specifically calls them exorcists. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, and look at verses 13 through 16 together. Acts 19, verses 13 through 16. We read the following. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons, one of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you, but who are ye? And the man on whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now we ask the question, can a Christian be possessed by devils? Can a Christian be possessed by devils? Well, let's turn to the scripture to answer that question. First of all, at salvation, the Holy Spirit permanently indwells the believer. A believer can never be possessed or influenced by a devil to the point that the Holy Spirit no longer lives within a believer. Whatever influence a devil may have in the life of a believer, it can never result in the loss of their salvation. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture to back this up. First, we turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And of course, we know the comforter is another name for the Holy Spirit. Look in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse number 30 with me. We read the following. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now we're answering the question using the Word of God, can a Christian be possessed by devils? We've seen at salvation the Holy Spirit permanently indwells the believer. Second, Christians can definitely be influenced in mind and body by Satan and his devils. Mountains of materials have been written in an attempt to prove that a Christian can or cannot be possessed by a devil. Whether one calls it possession or not, the Bible does make it clear that Satan and his devils can severely oppress and influence believers. Now we want to look at some verses of Scripture to back up our statement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we read the following, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So this verse is giving the saying that Satan can get an advantage of us if we're ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, we read the following. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, now listen now, here it is, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul is saying it's possible for the believer to beguiled, to be beguiled, amen, as a serpent beguiled Eve. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, we're instructed, neither give place to the devil. So the inference here is that the believer can give place to the devil. And we're told, we're instructed, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a stronghold in your life. Because if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we see here in the latter times, in the end times, we're in the end times, my friend, that some are going to depart from the faith. Why? Because they're going to give heed to seducing spirits. So the inference here is that the believer can be seduced by spirits, by devils. Looking in James chapter 3 with me. James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But if you have bitter enmity and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So we see that if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts. See? Then the devil can influence us. Then here in 1 Peter, look at in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Powerful verse, full of instruction for us. We read, be sober, be vigilant. And why are we instructed to be sober and to be vigilant? We're given the answer in the verse. Because your adversary. Adversary. Who's our adversary? Because your adversary, the devil. So here we see we're told, instructed to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, he's not your friend. He's your adversary. He's your bitter enemy. And then he describes the enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion. The devil is ferocious, in other words. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, destroy. Amen. Powerful words. The devil is out to try to destroy you and I. He's trying. Now that you're saved, amen, you're going to heaven. He can't take you to hell. But boy, is he going to try to destroy your testimony and your service for the Lord. So again, in 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, the solution for satanic control in the life of a lost person, for the unsaved man or woman, the only solution is salvation. Although there is no specific promise in the Bible that a lost person can be set free of devil possession, in the biblical sense of the term, at salvation, the whole weight of Scripture indicates that this is the case. The very essence of salvation is to be set free from the penalty of sin and of hell for a child of the devil to become the child of God. Look in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. Acts 26, 17 and 18, we read the following. Delivering thee from the people. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send to thee. This is Paul's commission. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is what God gives. The Lord gives Paul his commission to go to the Gentiles, to open their eyes, to preach the truth, the Word of God, to turn them from darkness. Someone that's not saved is in darkness, spiritual darkness, to turn them to spiritual light, and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. And why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, Christ says, that is in me. Well, we still have more to go on our study on gifts and miracles and casting out devils, and we'll pick up again and discuss this again next time on the Pastor's Study. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to me today on the Pastor's Study. And until we meet again, my prayer is God will richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.